Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. As we conclude our series on the I Am statements of Jesus Christ, we turn to his words in John chapter 15, I am the vine. May God speak to your heart through his word today and draw you closer to him. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, and we have some of our folks who I'm sure who went to be with the Lord this week, but some of us are left, and we're going to carry on the gospel the best way we can. And so we're going to be thinking today about the great I Ams of Jesus, and we're going to look at the last one. But before I do that, I want to read a couple of letters, because we get so many nice letters, and it gives you a little idea of the people that are watching and what they're asking about. And the first one comes from Huntsville, Texas, and this is from a social. This is from a prison, and this is a brother who knows the Lord, accepted the Lord in the prison, and he's in for a life sentence. He's going to die in prison, and he writes, "Sometimes when the weather is right, I can hear you on the radio. Must be 1,000 miles from here to Aberdeen." And we looked it up, Kent looked it up, and it's 1,132 miles. So he had that figured pretty close. He says, "And miles from Aberdeen. I'm 70 years old. I don't see so good anymore. Ain't going nowhere. I'll die here in this prison and be buried in the prison graveyard someday. Got no folks to come get and bury me. It don't matter, I guess, but the prison graveyard seems so lonely. Anyway, guess I got distracted. You had a large extra print Bible, I'd be so grateful. Doesn't have to be new, an old one would be fine, just so I can read it. Look forward to hearing you on radio if weather is right, and God bless you and keep you." And yes, we got a Bible and sent it to this brother. And he's in there for prison. And he says, and I thought it was, he said, "I'll die in this prison. I'll be buried in the prison graveyard someday. Got no folks to get me and bury me." And then he says, "It don't matter, I guess." And that's exactly right. It doesn't matter who comes for you or where you're buried or if you're eaten by wild animals. It doesn't make a bit of difference. When the Lord returns, he's going to raise up that body, and your spirit and soul will be united again. And so let's just pray for this dear brother in Huntsville, Texas. And here's one from Jamestown, North Dakota. And this person writes, "Where there is a pulse, there is a purpose." Now think of that. Where there is a pulse, there is a purpose. And that's exactly right. If you got a pulse, there's a reason you got a pulse, and it's a purpose. And the purpose is to honor Jesus and to witness for Jesus. So if you got life, that's what you're here for. That's what I'm for. Tell the world about Jesus. One more letter, St. Paul, Minnesota. He says, Always prayers to you, my brothers and sisters. I love you guys for what you do and your awesome word. Peace and prayers. Thank you for the word. I am a disabled combat Marine. You are my only true family. Sorry I can't send more. I am on a set income. Pray for me that my situation gets better. In Jesus' name I pray." And then he writes, and this is what he closed with, and this is what got to me. "I am a nobody. And I'm telling you," and he didn't give me an address. We just only know that he's in St. Paul, Minnesota. "But I'm going to tell you, brother, if you're listening, you are somebody. And everybody is somebody because Jesus died for you. God loves you. He loves you so much, Jesus died for you on the cross. And when he died for on that cross, he could see your face. He's dying for you. You're so important that if you'd be the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. And God loves you, and we love you on the Christian Worship Hour. And so just keep your faith in Jesus, and just witness for him the best way you can, and let people know you'll love Jesus, walking with Jesus. So we thank you for all these nice letters. And you get your pencil and paper ready, because I'll give the address in just a few minutes here. And maybe you'll want to write to us, and maybe you want to send a gift to help us. Who knows what the Lord will do? But it's all in the Lord's hands, isn't it? Well, we're going to look at the I Ams of Jesus. There were eight I Ams. And the reason that we're using, Jesus used these eight I Ams is that's the name of God. You remember when Noah was in the, when Moses was in the wilderness and caring for his sheep and he had the burning bush and it says that this is God. And it says, well, what is your name? And God says, my name is I Am Who I Am. I am. And when Jesus said, I am, he's saying, I'm God. I'm the Son of God, but I am God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so he is claiming and in telling us he is God. So he gives us all of the I Ams. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, and now today, I am the vine. Jesus begins by saying, I am the vine, or it could be translated, I am the vine, the true. I am the vine, the true vine. Because, you know, Israel was the national life of Israel was represented by the vine, the grapevine. And we're told about that in Psalm chapter 80. In the biblical literature, talks about it. And there, the singer of Israel figures Israel, and he talks about Israel, and it's a national decline. It's because they've failed the Lord, and they're drifting away from God, and they're getting some idol worship and such like. And so the psalmist said, thou broughtest a vine out of Egypt. And you remember the story. They went into Egypt because of the famine. And then they were just a family or two. And then in family, they multiplied. And in that, in Israel, in Egypt, they became a nation. It was in Egypt that Israel had its birth as a nation. And so you could say Egypt was the womb that gave birth to Israel as a nation. So the singer of Israel says, thou broughtest a vine out of Egypt. And Hosea and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel all speak of Israel as a vine. And all of them speak in a derogatory way because the vine has failed God. Israel as a vine had failed completely and fully. And the vine was a vine brought out of Egypt to bear fruit for God, but they didn't do that. And so it stands as the followers. And God talks to them and he says, because you've failed in your mission, I'm going to set you aside. And you remember the story of the vineyard and Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 21. And he tells us a parable of the vineyard and how the servants were sent to that vineyard and they were beaten and they were disgraced and they were stoned and they were killed. And so he says, I want fruit from them. I want to bear something out of that vine. And then he sends his son. And they kill his son. And that was a picture of Israel of how that Jesus said, because of that, I'm going to set you aside and I'm going to be the vine. Jesus now is the vine. He tells us the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And so Jesus, he was picking up from these things. And he's saying, we were looking to Israel to be that vine, but they failed. And so now Jesus comes and he is that vine. And that is a wonderful thing because now we can be a part of Jesus when we accept the Lord as our Savior. We're a part of that vine. And that's what this whole thing is going about when Jesus says, I am the vine, the true one. And so here it is by that act of those words where he set them aside and now he sent the true vine, Jesus. So here it is, and when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and it's through the new birth, Jesus said, you must be born again, and we accept Jesus, and we become a part of Jesus. He is the vine, and we're the branches. That takes forth when you pray to accept the Lord as your Savior. And he says, you are the branches, and what a high calling that is when Jesus takes us, and when we come as a poor lost sinner, and we ask the Lord to forgive us and to come into our heart and take away our sins. And he forgives us and we're reborn and we're born into the kingdom of God and baptized into the body of Christ. And so now we are so connected with Jesus that he is that vine and we are the branches. And so we can just rejoice and say that as disciples, Jesus talking to this little group of men that he had, just these few men. And he said, you people, you're my branches. And as other people accept me, boys and girls, men and women, all over the world, as they pray and ask Jesus into their heart, they become those branches also. And he said, you will bear fruit. The fruit that God looked for to come from Israel now is going to come from this, the people of God who are in the body of Christ, this wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so we have the highest calling in all of the universe. And because this wonderful Jesus, he is God, and we're tied in with God. We're tied in with Jesus. And because we're tied in from him, with him, we draw all of our strength from him, and we bear fruit out on the branches. That's where the fruit is. It's out on the branches. And then, but Jesus goes on, and he tells us something else. He says, I am the vine, the true, and my Father, he says, my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman was the one who cares for the vines, the one who sees that the vines bear fruit. Jesus, in his parable, spoke to about the wicked husbandmen. They were those that were in the parable that stoned the son and the servants and didn't give fruit to God. Now he has the true vine, and that true vine is Jesus Christ. So what Jesus is saying is, you men will no longer have to care for the vine on the earthly level. Now it's going to be so that the Father in heaven is going to take care of that vine. It's not going to be that Israel that came out of Egypt, but it's going to be this wonderful God in heaven, God the Father. My Father is the husbandman. So God the Father, through Jesus Christ, deals with us and makes us so that we bear fruit. And that's the aim, and that's the goal. And then Jesus goes on to tell them that the Father in heaven, the husbandman now, will prune the branches. He will cleanse the branches. And you know, cleansing, the pruning of is just chastening, where God wants to make us better and make us more like Christ. And so listen to what Jesus said. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And so here we have that we're a branch in this vine. And so God wants us to bear fruit. And in order to bear fruit, he's going to prune us. He's going to chasten us. We're going to have some troubles and trials and things that he puts us through so that he brings us to the Lord and brings us closer to him. But then here, Jesus says something, and it's misunderstood by so many people. I hope you'll listen. If you don't hear anything else in this sermon, listen to what I've got to say. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And what does he do? He taketh away. They're cut off and they're burned in the fire. They're cast away. And what we read that, look at that again and study. God tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, because so many people will say, every branch that beareth fruit, if you don't bear fruit, he's going to cast you away. And you're going to go into hell, sure as the world. And that does not teach that at all. Because if you study the Bible, and what God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the Bible. And when you come to this, just look what God is doing. He's talking about service, and he's not talking about salvation. That salvation comes when we accept Jesus. We are saved and we are forever saved. And he holds us in his hand and we will never perish. But he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about bearing fruit, about Christian service. St. Paul talked about that very same thing in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. And he says, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. And so right away they say, see, even though he was a preacher, God's going to put him in hell. He's a castaway. He's talking about service. You know, I was raised out on a farm in the 30s, the hard 30s. And we saved everything we had. If it was a piece of string, my mother had a ball, and she put that string on there. They even saved the string. They saved everything. And when a machine was used up or not any good anymore, we put it in a junk pile because maybe we could use some of the parts. And so, all right, so here you have a car, and the car doesn't work anymore, and you put it on the junk pile. It's a castaway on the junkyard. But what is it? It's still a car. Just because you put it on the junkyard doesn't mean it's a horse or a cow or a house or anything. It's a car. But it's a car that isn't being used. It's of no value anymore, but it's still a car. And when Jesus deals with us, and it simply means if we refuse to follow him and obey him, then he'll set us aside. We're still his child, just like the prodigal son went away off in the land. He's still his father's son. He's still his father's child, but he's of no value to his father, and he has no fellowship with him, see? And so when we think about this, what Paul is saying, I want to live for the Lord the best I can. And when he deals with me, I want to listen to him. And I want to be his follower, and I want to honor him. And because if I don't, he'll set me aside, and he'll let somebody else do it. If I'm going to sins are so vigorous, and I won't turn to Jesus, he'll set me aside, and he'll put up somebody better. And I'll be a castaway. I'm still his son, but I'm of no value, not service. That's what he's talking about. And you say, in the care of the vine rests in the Father. And he is the one that does the pruning. And he's the one that does the cleansing. And he alone will make the branches bear fruit. For that's the sole purpose of the branches on the vine, is not to look pretty and call attention to ourselves. The only purpose that limb is there, that branch is there, is to bear fruit, to bear apples or oranges or whatever it is. It's not there for people to say, oh, those blossoms look beautiful. Oh, isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thing? No, it's there to bear fruit. That's the only purpose. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, and then he will bear that fruit. Jesus goes on and he says, abide in me then, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It can't do it by itself. We have to have Jesus, and we have to have that relationship with him, see? Except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. Then Jesus went on to say something else. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For apart from me, severed from me, set over on that pile there, apart from me, you can do nothing. The one little word here that really stands out is abiding. And that happens when we surrender to Jesus and we give ourselves to Jesus. In the 15th verse, in the 7th verse, he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Therefore, there is more than appears on the surface here. He says, now, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you can ask me what you want, and I'll give it to you. Now, that can be misunderstood. I had that misunderstood in my life. When we were on the farm, and we were about to lose the farm, and my mother was a wonderful, beautiful Christian woman. And she told me, and I was about 10, 12 years old. She says, Harold, it says in the Bible, if two are gathered on something, I will do it. So let's you and me pray that we won't lose the farm. And we prayed every day, every day, every day, and we lost the farm. And some people could be angry and says, oh, God didn't answer his prayers and I'm done with him. You know what my mother said? Harold, I don't understand this, but I know God loves us, and I know God is right, and we're going to worship him and love him because he loves us. What she didn't understand, and I didn't understand, we have to pray in the will of God. It's got to be God's will. Because, friends, the world would be a crazy place if God answered everybody's prayer. Say they say one prayer, and then they say, oh, if you do that, I'll accept the Lord, and then I'll pray. And it would be a horrible mess. We'd have two men fighting over one woman. I guess maybe they have done that. And they're both Christian men, and they're both praying, but they both can't marry her. What's God going to do? So God has a will. And so every prayer we pray, we should pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You say your prayers, and then you just take God, I want your will to be done. And if he doesn't answer your prayers just exactly the way you think they ought to be answered, then you just praise him and thank him. Look at Job, how God dealt with Job. And what does Job say after all of these troubles and trials? He says, I know one thing, that when God is done with me, I'm going to come out as pure gold. He could see that God was refining him with these trials and these troubles that came into his life. And he gave himself anew to God, and he submitted to God. And sure enough, he had all of the blessings that he had. God could use him, and there was fruit. There was great fruit in the life of Job, so that we quote him all the time, and he encourages us, and it helps us. And so that's what we have to do. We have to be in Jesus. And when we're in Jesus, then we give ourselves entirely to him, and then let him lead us and take us along. So there may be somebody here today, and I've worked with these people 75 years now, and I've talked to some that are bitter toward God. My baby died. I prayed he'd live, and baby died. Some of those things. I lost my farm. I lost my wife. My children are gone. Whatever it is. And then they say, I prayed, and God didn't answer me, and I'm done with God. No, because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and God has a purpose and God has a reason. And he's working it all out. And when we get to heaven, I had a dear pastor friend of mine, and went to Bible school with him, killed in a plane crash, left a little family behind him. Great preacher, a lot better preacher than I'll ever be. And God took him as a young man over 50 years ago. And why did that happen? Well, we say, dear Jesus, I'm going to let God be God. And you do as you lead. And that's just what's fine with me. And when we get to heaven, we'll say, oh, I understand now. You see, we're on the downside. But when we get to heaven, we'll see that all is right. It's just like a beautiful tapestry. And as on the sky, it has flowers and beautiful and everything. But when you lift it up and look, there are threads going everywhere and clashing of colors, and it doesn't make sense. But then you see, you roll it over and you get the top side, the heaven side, and it'll make a beautiful pattern. Everything will be right. So you say, I want to be the branch on that vine, but how am I grafted in? How am I taken in? And Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. He tells us in John 5:24, he said, verily, verily, he's saying, listen, listen, I want to tell you something. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, you've heard it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you can believe, that's what you have to do, and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. The minute you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And Jesus isn't done yet. And then he says, heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. That's heaven. I'm praying that you're praying right now, wherever you are, whoever you are. Maybe you're a terrible sinner. Maybe you just ask Jesus and you just pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I'll follow you the best way I can. I'll live for you the best way I can. Thank you for Jesus. in your own way, you made that prayer. I prayed that when I was 10 years old, 88 years ago, and he's never left me since. And if you make that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All you shortwave people, I'm going to give it to you again in just a minute. Or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can write if you have a question. You can write if you want literature. And you can also help us in the work because we got to pay our way like anybody else. And that's the way we want it. Now, the Christian Worship Hour has been doing this for over 40 years. And all of our income comes from God's people. We're not carried by a church or denomination or an organization. It's just God's people give as God lays it on their heart. And so you write to us, and we'll use it to the honor of God. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so just remember that. It's all above board. Now let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. And we're praying that they'll be, as you come into their hearts, they'll find that peace and that joy. They'll walk with you. Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness, and we pray for those who are shut-ins. We pray for the young people that are having struggles in life. And Lord, we pray for the children. And then the persecuted church in Iraq, Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters there. Help them to know we pray for them all of the time. And we're so proud of them as they stand up for you even unto death. I wonder if I could do it, but they're doing it every day. So bless them and help them to know that we love them and are praying for them, and they are making us stronger. And one other thing before I leave, I have to tell you this, that God loves you. I don't care who you are or what you've done. God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you for 40 years, and I love you. 75 years I've been preaching. I gave my whole life to tell people because I love people and I want them to come to Jesus. And I don't know why you don't come. Don't be stubborn and don't let the devil stand in your way. You make that prayer. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear Jesus, save me for Jesus, my wonderful Savior. Take away my sins and you'll be clean and pure and I'll see you in heaven and I'm going to be looking for you. But you have to make that decision. So God bless you. Lord willing, next week we'll be back. God bless each one of you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.